Have you ever witnessed something unexplainable outside your bedroom window? What would you do if you witnessed a terrifying creature on a school trip? And at what point does a paranormal investigation become dangerous? Today, we test the believability of the Listener Submission Collection, Volume 1.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Hope everyone's having a great week. It's Tuesday. All right. So let me be upfront because you might be like, what the heck? More often than not, we try to really get the most out of our listener submission stories. Like we'll get a submission. Typically, we ask questions, try and get more and more and more because, I mean, in our mind, we're trying to turn these stories into somewhere between 30, 40 minutes of an episode, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, sometimes we get listener submissions that are more like a paragraph or two.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're bad, and that doesn't mean they're not interesting.
Right.
They're just short. So here's where I'm at and where we're at, because we've had discussions off the air about this. One, I don't want people to feel like, sometimes a paranormal experience is just a brief moment. That's just a fact. Not all of it, not every experience you have is like a narrative with like a beginning, a middle, and end, and closure.
That's true. It's like a ship passing in the night.
Yeah, exactly. So one, I don't want people to feel like if they have that experience, they can't submit their stories. And two, I definitely don't want people to either lie or embellish about their story to make it longer, you know, to be an episode on the podcast.
Yeah, to make it fit. Don't lie to make it fit.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what we will do is we'll try and grasp more information, because when you're telling a story, you know, there's some details you might gloss over that, you know, we know either we have questions about or we think our listeners might have questions about, so we might pull that out of you. But sometimes the story is what it is. So I decided I want to give the shine. I want to spread the shine. So we have three shorter submissions in this episode.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So here's what I want to do. I want to go story, mini discussion, no rating.
Gotcha.
Story, mini discussion, no rating. Story, mini discussion, no rating. And at the end, our discussion, quote unquote, will just be our rating.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So our first listener submission in this volume, this collection. I actually searched like what a part versus what a volume. It's not worth it. I like calling it Volume 1 because I know there's going to be more, so that's what it is. Shout out to the Ghost Notes Symphonies Volume 1, Rise Against. So I called this one The Cave, and This was sent to us a long time ago. I'm not going to lie. This might have been one of our first five submissions.
But it was short. We weren't sure what to do with it yet.
Yeah, we were just sitting on it, looking at it.
Like, it's good.
We're watering it.
Yeah.
Waiting for it to grow. And it was like, I'm good. I'm good right here.
It's a cactus.
So let's dive in. This takes place in 2017. It takes place in the wetlands.
There's the wetlands.
I tried searching him on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he must have deleted his Instagram or he unfollowed us, which happens, you know, people be moving on.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. So just imagine a wetland.
The wetlands. I imagine a swamp.
Yeah. So when Dwayne was 13 years old, his school took a trip to a wetland. I don't know where they're from.
I've always wanted to go to a wetland. Yeah.
So I imagine they're studying trees and animals.
Or crocodiles.
Or crocodiles. Maybe they're from the West Coast and they just want to see what an area looks like when it's wet. I guess that's not like the Pacific Northwest. That's more like the
California. Yeah, the Southwest.
Yeah. So they're at the wetlands. They're walking around. They're looking at stuff. I can't really visualize what they're seeing, but they're there.
Okay.
So at one point, the kids were allowed to explore the area by themselves. Pretty light supervision.
Yeah.
Now you're going into, you're teaching.
Yes.
So maybe this sounds kind of, I don't know if this is allowed maybe, but I'm not here to pick it apart. I'm here to describe it. So Dwayne gets on his Batman shit and he decides him and his friend are going to check out this cave
That
they saw in the wetlands. Sounds like a legal dispute. waiting to happen.
Yes.
So he said it was pretty dark inside, but it didn't seem that creepy, and they weren't getting any weird feelings. Now, all things considered, this is a school trip.
Yeah.
So right. While you might
feel pretty supervised,
you get gross feelings about like turning an assignment in late, but typically you're not thinking about the paranormal, I
right.
would assume, while on a school trip. So the boys keep going deeper and further into the cave, and then they hear this roaring boom come from what they anticipate is the end of the cave. So it freaked them out, but they decide to keep going in because they're 13 and they don't know.
Yeah, they say, yeah, let's just ignore that.
Unless you, our listener right now, is 13, then you're very mature and making great life decisions like listening to this podcast. So just a few moments later, though, they realize that continuing in that cave was a bad, bad decision. They witnessed something that looked like a human-like figure, but incredibly pale with sharp claws. It was difficult for the boys to discern exactly what it was because the creature was hunched over and eating something. Naturally, they were freaked out and terrified beyond belief, but also happy that the creature was distracted with lunch. So they slowly backpedal to escape when, of course, one of them steps on a stick.
Yeah,
in
of course.
In a second, the creature's head shoots up and looks directly at Dwayne and his friend.
Oh, man.
It lets out a screech that he said sounded like a high-pitched whistle mixed with an owl. And then the boys ran as fast as they could out of the cave. They discovered right after exiting the cave that it was time for the school to depart the wetlands. So they tried to calm themselves down, and they decided that they weren't going to tell anyone in the school what they witnessed.
As a leader of science says, now exiting the wetlands into the dry lands.
Now exiting the Bantha cave. Not Bantha. What was, oh, God.
Is it a Star Wars thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
God damn it.
Man, that it's scary. I don't know. That's so, I don't know what it. Do you think it's a Wendigo?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I don't. I mean, you know what would help is knowing where this takes place.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
a feeling it's not in an area that Wendigo are known to be in.
That's this feels like the Ozarks to me. I don't really know, but it feels like the Ozarks. Like Missouri.
I don't know. I've been to some wet areas in Missouri. I actually got, like, there was a bunch of billboards that was saying doing the zip line thing.
Man, I so feel then, like I'm in a wetland right now.
So then we went off the path to this zip line, and it was this, like, old, dirty place, and the zip line was over the parking lot, and that was it. It was just one zip over the parking lot. Like
You land on your car.
Yeah, exactly. It was a wampa. The creature in the cave, the Star Wars reference, it was a wampa.
Gotcha.
So what I did was I did a little research back actually when we first got this, and I was looking for like pale animals with claws that are known to be in caves, but I wasn't able to find something. So maybe people that are more versed in caves, like Batman, can let me know. I wasn't able to find something. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that the adults are cool with children wandering on their own on a
sure.
trip.
Yeah.
Do you think a couple of 13-year-old boys would be able to calm themselves down? That feels very cinematic, where it's like you're following the protagonist. You know you're in on the secret, but you know that the parents, the older adults, can't know. So they like, all right, let's meet up at my house at midnight to discuss what happened. Because I had my video camera out, but we can't tell any adults about it because then, I don't know, we'll get grounded or something.
Yeah, I feel like they would be screaming in the back of the bus the whole time.
Or maybe other people would be like, what was that loud boom?
Yeah,
I have an interesting theory, though, on how the creature could be in the caves. You know how it's like different frequencies? I don't know if you ever experienced this in high school.
Yeah.
There were frequencies that would go off. Like people got, they were called like mosquito phones.
Oh, yeah. I know
where it's like the teacher wouldn't hear it, but the kids would hear it, and they would know when they got a text message. Cell phones were just getting really popular, like high school for me, where it was more common, not just the rich kids. But what if this creature's howl was so high-pitched that it hit the frequency that adults couldn't hear it?
Oh, that's an interesting theory. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
That's cool.
I thought of it all on my own.
That's cool, yeah.
Now, I don't know how that would equate to it living in there unless it was just like the adults were like, oh, I don't hear any monsters, so it's probably empty. So we'll let a couple 13-year-old boys wander. And actually, I don't even know how many kids are on the bus. They're going to come in like, who are you?
They have no permission slips.
Yeah.
It's like, get on the bus. Get to the trip.
The kids that don't get their parents to sign it have to go into the cave.
Yeah.
Dude, were you ever that kid that didn't get your parental thing signed so you had to stay at the school while everyone went on the trip?
If I did, it was intentional.
So like, you did have that happen?
If I didn't want to go, yeah. I've done that a couple times.
Oh, dude, that was like the day before, like when it was still in your book bag and it was all crumpled up and your teacher was like, remember, tomorrow's the last day. It was like, like, I can't just chill here. Now, going back in time and think about it, there probably are some trips I would have rather just hung out.
But there are nice days where you just watch some movies instead.
Yeah, but there were no cell phones back then, so.
It's true.
I would have just had to, like, exist. So, that was the mini discussion.
Yes.
We'll actually rate it at the end of the episode.
Okay.
So let's move on to our second listener submission for this episode. I call this one the night UFO, which is kind of revealing. That's one of the things that's trouble about naming these is that you learn what it's about right at the beginning.
Really quick.
But it is what it is. So this is brought to us by Taylor, and this takes place in New York in 2020.
Wow, that's
not
cool.
About COVID.
Okay.
Happened during COVID. Wasn't about COVID. So it starts out late at night, and Taylor wakes up feeling completely numb. But not just being completely numb, she realizes that she cannot move at all. Frozen. And the way that her head is positioned, she gets a clear shot outside her window. And as her eyes begin adjusting to the dark, she notices something moving really quickly. A shadowy figure outside. And as her eyes begin adjusting to the dark, she notices a quick moving shadow with lights around it flying outside her window. She closed her eyes, hoping that it was just the exhaustion or just being so tired that she was literally just seeing things, that they weren't there, they were hallucinations. But she opened her eyes and something was out there. She said she stared at the object with lights for what felt like hours. And eventually, her body felt different. She had control and she could move again. So she darted out of bed and ran to her grandmother's room. She started yelling, "Nana, wake up! There are aliens outside!" So her grandmother followed Taylor back to her room, and they both looked out the window. And they waited, and they waited, but they saw nothing. At this point, Taylor figured that maybe her eyes or her mind were just playing tricks on her. So her grandmother wished her good night, and Taylor got back in bed, hoping to finally get some rest. But when she looked out her window, not only did she see the same shadowy object with lights dancing around the sky, but there was a second one. She feared that since she was the only one that could see it, and now that there was a second one, that it was for her, that it was coming for her. That they meant to harm her. Terrified, she jumped back out of bed and went back to her grandmother's room, absolutely hysterical. She screamed, "They're going to get me! Help!" So her grandmother, again, followed her back to her room, telling her that it would be okay and that she would protect her no matter what. At this point, it was about 6:30 in the morning, and Taylor said that she was supposed to be getting ready for school. But she was too terrified and was worried that if she left her house, whatever she saw in the sky would get her. So, she stayed home from school that day, and that was the last time she ever saw anything strange in the sky. So, what are your thoughts?
My biggest thought is, how do you know the spaceship was interested in you specifically? Because if it's in the sky, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have eyes. It's not looking at you.
I think logic is out the window. I think it's a feeling. It's like when something happens and you feel like it was intended for you. Like I've heard people, like a ghost, they see a ghost and they feel like it's there for them. Like you might be in a room with like a family or an investigate. How many times, not that I'm making this, how many times does Zach Bagans say like, "It was coming for me"?
That's, I feel like that's different though. That's ghost. That's an energy thing. That's not a couple miles in the air.
Unless it was put in her head.
That could be too. Yeah, there's
so,
lots of...
So we're thinking aliens, right? UFO?
Yeah, oh, that's what I totally think.
What was the name of the episode? Although there was that slight curveball, which could still be a major possibility that she was experiencing sleep paralysis. And
yes.
It was a hallucination.
She said her body was numb.
Yeah, she couldn't move, so she was feeling that aspect of sleep paralysis. Maybe it was a hallucination, but at the same time, she saw it again when she came back.
Yeah.
Which makes it
didn't
a little...
Didn't go away.
Yeah, so... And there were two of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely makes me think aliens.
I buy more that she saw them. It's the feeling thing that makes me...
Well, that's not even... That's just something she said.
That's true, Yeah, okay, all right.
Also, it's not clear if her grandmother saw it, to me.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know.
She's like, I'll protect you, but it almost feels like a, yeah, okay, here's your room.
It reminds me a little bit of the Hopkinsville Goblins.
With the grandmother?
Yeah, yeah. And then they go away, and then they come back.
I know, she should have had some guns in her pillow. Yeah, and just pull them out like Lucky. Okay, so the third and final story. This was presented to us by Ethan M., and I titled this one, The Piercing Eyes. And this takes place in, I love saying this, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, I will say, as transparent as I can, this was supposed to be the main episode because I think that there's a lot of missing details. And I'm not saying this is Ethan's fault. I think you submit your story. It feels long when you're typing it and you send it. And then I read it. I'm like, ooh, I want to know more about this. I want to know more about this. I think as I read it, I think you'll feel the same way. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get more information in time from him. So this might be one of those follow-up, because I think there's a lot of follow-up potential with this story.
Okay.
But since this was supposed to be the main one, I'm going to give it a little bit of a special treatment that is outside the norm. I'm going to read it.
Okay,
so cool. Instead of retelling it, I'm going to just read his submission, and hopefully we'll get more details down the road. If not, I think we can still enjoy it for what it is, and then we will get to the discussion. You ready?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, quote, starting a few years ago, I started to become interested in the paranormal, from binge-watching Ghost Adventures to watching every ghost movie that seemed interesting to me. Around that time, I thought it was a good idea to start investigating the paranormal myself. I started buying beginner-level equipment, including a SB7 spirit box, a digital recorder, and an EMF detector, which I all found on Amazon, and a GoPro camera. I was lucky enough to have a friend lend me the camera, but the only way I could convince him to let me borrow it was to let him join me and another friend on the investigation. We started off at a forest that used to be the home of an asylum. It was our usual go-to spot for a taste of paranormal activity. We caught the usual evidence, creepy EVPs, orbs, and the occasional death echo, a spirit reliving its demise in an infinite time loop. Unquote, really quick. Quick interjection. I think you can see where I was trying to get a little bit more, a little more detail. I think that alone could probably be its own episode.
I think so too.
But back to the story. Quote, that stuff was weird to hear because it was always different depending on the time of night. But the experience below would change my respect for the paranormal forever. There's a cemetery in my town that's located right next to a hospital, which happens to be the oldest one in my town. It was 4th of July, around 10:30, on a really calm and still night. We arrived at our destination, disembarked from my car with our gear in hand, and ventured into the unfamiliar territory. It was very quiet when we arrived, and we walked up to the highest point and set up our tech. Sitting on a stone wall, I broke out my digital recorder and started asking questions like, if anyone is there, can you make your presence known? Or, if someone is there, please say something. After 5 minutes or so, nothing responded, which was pretty usual. Then, I asked if any present spirits could move the flags posted on the gravestones. Suddenly, one of the flags started billowing roughly. And keep in mind, the night was incredibly still. There was no wind at all. We all stared at it, slightly confused and intrigued. We decided to move our position and head toward the older and more decrepit part of the cemetery. As we approached the back of the cemetery, we were abruptly stopped in our tracks when we heard a large bang right next to us. I paused my GoPro, which was attached to the sling of my backpack, so I could get out my EMF detector. I told my friend to start recording with the digital recorder. As I reached into my bag, out of nowhere, we heard an aggressive and guttural growl, sort of like a hellhound, and the hairs stood up on the back of my neck. We all froze and then ran like hell to my car. As we approached it, all out of breath, I decided to look back, which I now regret. I saw a dark figure with piercing yellow eyes standing behind a tree. Next thing I know, I'm flying out of that place and headed for safety. Unquote. There's a lot of details. I want more.
Yeah, yeah. There's way more to that story, I think.
Oh, yeah. And he admitted there was. It didn't get in time, which is partly my fault being delayed on it.
It's okay.
Partly your fault, Ethan. I'm just kidding. You're cool, man. So what are your thoughts on this one? This is it's a good ghost story. Well, yeah. Or a good something story.
Yeah. It reminds me of the time we went to some
church. I know, dude. There are a lot of similarities between an experience we had in a cemetery.
Yeah.
The only time we ever got an EVP in our entire lives.
Because
literally it was like front of the cemetery, weird stuff. We went to the back of the cemetery, large bang, felt like we were getting chased out.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. That's so weird.
Yeah. But just, it's kind of crazy, right? It almost makes us feel less special.
I didn't think that. But I would say it gives ours more validity. That's what I would say.
Dude, let's tell our story.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
We have more stories, but this is a shared one, and I feel like, why not? We're off script now. My notes are like, what's he doing? What's he doing? Reel him back in. He's going off the trails. It's all ad lib from here on out. But it really did make me think of our story, too.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. So this is 2014, and we were living together in an apartment in Akron, Ohio. And we were actually filming we weren't the ones filming. Ghost Type Alex, a friend, was filming. We were in it, starring in it.
Yeah,
we were doing an indie feature-length film. Very ambitious.
It was extremely ambitious.
Just finishing the screenplay, I remember it was like me and Alex were like, oh my God, I can't believe we did it. But anyway, one of my friends from my hometown was visiting because he was in it. He had a small part as well. We were filming. We got done. It was like 9 o'clock at night. Nothing going on.
Yeah.
Ghost Adventures was on TV.
Yeah.
I remember we just kind of all spread out around the living room. And I just started searching like haunted places in Akron. And a lot of it was like buildings. And you can't just, hey, can I come in and do some investigating?
Well, some people would say you can, but you really shouldn't.
Yeah, I guess we didn't want to. And we're not investigators at
no,
all.
By no, any, no.
Like, our form of like getting an EVP is, like, you holding your phone out.
Yeah. And saying, guys, be quiet.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, like, early days, we were like... So now we, like, made a point to, like, call out shit. Like, if somebody burps or if somebody, like, breathes heavy, we're like, call it out. That was a car over there. But, so I found this cemetery in Fairlawn area of Ohio. And I'm like, hey, guys, you want to go? And at first, our friend Ethan didn't want to go. Ironically, it's also by Ethan.
Yeah.
Ethan didn't want to go, but we convinced him to go. So one of the first parts about it, I remember, is we're all dressed in black.
Yeah.
From, like, head to toe. And we're like, let's get coffee at this gas station. So then we head to this gas station, and we walk in to get coffee, dressed like a completely, like,
all in black. It looks like we're about to go rob a museum.
And there are three cops in there, and they just kind of, like, look
like,
over
same
at us.
Shit, different day.
Yeah. So then we parked at, well, I don't want to give away all our secrets.
No, no.
We parked, and we walked into the cemetery. I do remember we found a little mitten.
That was weird.
On the sidewalk. That's neither here nor there. But we walked in, and it was deep enough that you could, like, you run the first, probably, like... first 100 feet just to make sure you're away from the traffic because it's by a pretty busy road.
It goes down a hill too, yeah. So you can't see the lights anymore.
But it's deep enough that, like, even though it's a pretty busy area of Fairlawn, Ohio, like, once you get in enough, it gets pretty silent. But there is a highway in the distance, so
yeah.
Every now and then you'll just hear, like, a semi or something, a truck. But it also sounds creepy on an EVP recording.
Yeah.
So, okay, first things, and I always actually forget this because I almost don't believe it. I think I would give myself a skeptic on this because we're, like, amped up. We're like, oh, my God, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're all jacked up,
This too. Was the first time the three of us ever have done something like this before. I swear to everything in this world that I felt something like brush past my elbow. And I actually didn't tell you guys because I was like, it's too soon.
There's no way. We just started.
It's too soon. I was like, I don't want to be like that guy that's like, oh my God, guys, I just got touched and we're 5 minutes in. So I'm like, I felt it. I'm like, this is weird. But, you know, like I'm going to, I told you guys later that night. But
this is like fall, right? Like.
It was October. No, it was April. It was spring.
It was oh yeah, things were just like defrosting.
Yeah, it was. It was cold. Like yeah. It was probably in the 40s.
Yeah, but no, we rationed that no one had been there really before.
That's true. That was one of the things we were thinking about. It's like if you think of energy and disturbed energy or how much activity something was getting, the chances that there were people in the cemetery, especially at night during this time of the year, very minimal.
Yeah.
Not that I don't know what happens there at night in the summertime. People go and party. When I remember when the Pokemon Go was out, would drive through there mm-hmm. to get their Pokemon, and we would throw acorns at their cars. I don't know if it was you and me or me and Ethan, but we saw two what almost looked like lightning bug streaks go across the sky, but they weren't lightning bugs. I don't really know what it was. I don't know if I'd even call it like an orb.
I didn't see it.
So it was me and Ethan.
Yeah.
They were like very sharp and jagged, and at the time, I didn't really think much of it, but I know later that night, we were like, it almost felt like it was leading us to the back.
Yeah.
I don't know if any, we did some EVPs along the way going to the back of the cemetery. But
we got the EVP before we got to the back.
Right. So I think we did like 9 of them that night.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we, you know, because we didn't listen to them yet. You know, we like recorded it and then we put it away and then we mm-hmm. just kept walking. So really, it almost turns into just like a scenic night. Like, we were there for about an hour. We got all the way to the back of the cemetery. It was chill, but it felt like right when we let our guard down is when things got real.
Yeah. So we make our way to the back, right? We're in the back, and we start to kind of, like, drift mentally. So I'm looking at the moon. Were you looking at the moon with me?
Yeah, I think because Ethan was putting his phone up, like he was going
to
take a picture.
He was trying to take a picture of the moon, right? And we're all kind of looking in the moon in one direction, not really thinking about where we are or the moments.
No, it was scenic.
And in that moment of serenity, we're by this little stream, and there's this thwack, and then there's a splash, and we freaked out.
See, looking back, do you think it could have been like a frog?
I think that's absolutely what it was. I think it was totally a frog.
A frog just jumping in the water?
I think so.
But it was a feeling.
Yes. With that splash came this dread.
Yeah. Now, Ethan claims that he saw two orbs circle the moon, like obviously not in space, but around it in his phone, and then darted at him right before we heard the splash.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
What, dude, this is 7 years ago. You knew that.
Well, then I forgot about it.
Yeah, okay.
But with that feeling, we ran. We all looked at each other and we're like, you could see in each other's eyes that we were obviously thrown off. So we left. We didn't run out of the back.
It was like a speed.
We walked very quickly. Yeah.
And you and I were a little bit more afraid than Ethan, I think. Although Ethan was afraid, but he started walking backwards. He was like a photographer.
Yeah.
And he just started taking all these pictures. I remember vividly feeling like we were being chased out.
I remember being seen. I remember being looked at. Just like the piercing eyes.
Yeah, there was like this fog that started rolling in too. And it was, I know this part was probably my mind playing tricks on me. But the way that the fog like moved, it almost looked like figures.
You could almost see shadow figures.
Yeah, not like well-formed figures or anything.
Right.
But the way it moved was just so unnatural. And I just remember thinking like, we are getting chased out of here. I cannot wait to see these. Well, I guess I wasn't really thinking yet about the future with the pictures. But I remember him taking the pictures. I was like, there could literally be something in there.
Yeah, and we're walking fast. I'm out of breath. And I'm panting. We're trying to get out of the cemetery. It's a good half a mile, right?
Yeah, I would say for sure.
Yeah, and we walked as fast as we could. Didn't run, but we definitely walked.
What do you say when we leave the cemetery?
You cannot come with us.
Yeah.
You have to stay here.
Was that the time your rosary broke, or was that a different time?
That was the time my rosary broke.
Ugh.
When we were leaving, my rosary broke.
Mm-mm.
Because I wanted to have protection of some kind.
Yeah. It did not take the rosary seriously.
No. But Ethan, like you said, Ethan was taking pictures, and as we turned and exited and said, you can't come with us, Ethan got a picture. And in that picture, we saw some faces.
Yeah, it was a little bit further in, but it was, it's one of those pictures where it's like, if you see it, you see it. But if, like, it's not clear as day.
Right, no.
Like, we would have to, like, show you what we see and how we see it. And, like, we manipulated the picture to kind of get different. I'm not a photographer. I can't really speak to what I'm talking about. But it's, like, different hues or, like, different saturations. So you could, because otherwise it just looks like a picture at nighttime. But it's, like, when you edit it, you can kind of see there's, like, a streak across it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, like, a light streak. And in the light streak, in the picture, you can see what looks like, like a really elongated, almost tribal face.
Yeah. And then we went to the car and we listened to the EVPs.
We went to Taco Bell. We were terrified. We were like, we need to get some food. Let's decompress before we listen to these things. So I remember we drove, we got Taco Bell, and then we parked in the parking lot of Taco Bell, hooked his phone up, or your phone.
Yeah.
Hooked your phone up to your car's Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Turned the volume to 11.
Yeah.
And then we listened. And if I can find it, I will post it. It's somewhere out there. I know it is, because there's no way in the world we would delete it. Obviously, this is probably like two phone iterations for you.
Yeah.
But we took, I think, 12 or so, between 9 and 12 EVPs. And in one of them, we say, is there anything you want us to do? And very faintly, in a voice that does not belong to any of us, it said, just go back.
Oh, yeah.
And that was terrifying. I remember, like, just the feeling in the car when we listened back. So that's why it's funny, because, like, Ethan's talking about these, like, death echoes and all these crazy things. And I can't even imagine what that would be like, because just hearing one EVP from one experience was just like, oh, the chills that I got. Crazy. And that's why we don't act like we're experts on paranormal shit, because we had that one. I mean, we've had separate experiences in different ways, but that's the only EVP we've ever caught.
Mm-hmm.
And that was terrifying. We're like, oh my God, we got this EVP.
Yeah.
And but it's like,
if other people had that experience, like, oh, that's, I mean, that was nice.
Yeah. Like, that's beginner level shit.
Yeah.
Let's head to the discussion. We'll talk a little bit about these short submissions a little more and then give our rating. So before we get to the discussion, we got to shout out our new patrons for this week. So thank you, Andy, Carla, and Isaac. We appreciate the three of you for joining our Patreon and supporting the podcast. Also, Andy, if you're listening, we sent you a message. We need your shirt size, bro. Unless you want a smorgasbord where we just send you one of each and you just send it back. But this isn't Stitch Fix. That's not, you don't send back what you don't want. So joking aside though, Andy, we do need your shirt size. Speaking of shirt, there's only about a week and a half left of the month of July, which is in itself crazy.
Wow.
Like, really, like, we're halfway through. Like, I know summer just technically started, but it really feels like we're pretty much done with summer.
Yeah.
Which is depressing, but that does mean football season is right around the corner.
Football.
But with about 10 days left in the month, you have 10 more days where if you join our dedicated tier on Patreon, you automatically get our Bee Leaving the Bizarre shirt. You can see the design up on Instagram. There's no cost, nothing. If you join during this month or you're a pre-existing member of our dedicated tier, you automatically get that shirt with the asterisk that you must send us your shirt size. But that's there for the taking. Also, we got quizzes, segments, director's cut, free merch, Google Hangouts.
Yeah.
So
if you want to talk to us.
If you want to talk to us once a month.
Ask us some questions about some stuff. Yeah. That's there.
We'll ask you some questions. So, you know, you're going to be interviewed too. Maybe. But all that is there if you want bonus content. But let's get back to the discussion. Okay, so do you want to go through these in the same order that we told them?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with The Cave with Dwayne.
The Cave.
13-year-old kids, school trip to the wetlands in the world somewhere, and they see this pale human-like creature with claws eating something deep in a cave with a high-pitched owl-like shrill call. I really wanted to find at least one creature that I could be like, maybe it was this. And maybe someone is listening and screaming, it was this, or it could have been this. I don't know. So if you guys have ideas or suggestions, let me know. And
I feel like I could see it in my brain, like, clearly.
Is it a Wampa from Star Wars?
No.
Episode 5?
No, but I feel like I see it in that moment, because that picture is very clear. Everything around it is very blurry.
It's like a naked mole rat person with claws.
Oh. What do you see? Actually, very taut skin.
What do you think it was eating?
I hope just an animal. Like deer.
Or like a salad.
Well, I think it's a meat eater.
If he's naked,
I think we can infer it's a meat eater.
If you were naked all the time, I would if I was naked all the time, I would watch what I was eating.
Subconscious.
Although I guess protein. Maybe he's on that keto.
He's doing that caveman diet.
When they stepped on a twig, he's like, I can't have potatoes. There's too many carbs. They're like, we weren't offering potatoes, bro. All right, well, let me ask you, where do you fall on the believability scale?
I give it a skeptical. It seems a lot like a story a 13-year-old tell.
I don't know what it could have been. I think my problem is I don't know enough. Like, I don't want to assume that they made this up. It like there's little things in it, like school trip, you know, no supervision, kids wander in a cave. They come running out. They like calm themselves down enough so that they can get. So there are those things in it that make me feel skeptical. But I also don't feel like just for the sake of being on this podcast, somebody would just make something up. Now, do I think maybe they misunderstood what they were looking at?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I could see that.
Like, I don't know if necessarily it was like a unknown, terrifying creature. But so are you going skeptical on that it was like an unknown, terrifying creature, or that it even existed at all?
I don't. Maybe they misconstrued a lot of details of what they saw, because there's not a lot of details to go off of. So maybe the whole thing's kind of fuzzy.
I don't think it was made up.
I don't think it was completely made up.
But I'm going to join you in skeptical in that it was like an unknown, terrifying creature. I find the story believable. In that, I don't want to assume anybody lies to get on the podcast.
Right.
Because if you're going to embellish, I feel like you could have went insane. Like, it was short to the point. It feels like it's a memory. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
Now, there's inconsistencies in it. So, I will join you with that one on skeptical.
Yeah.
So, the night UFO. I'll start off. I find this one believable. Just because I believe in UFOs. Now, I agree with you. The feeling, like, let's toss the feeling aside. Taylor has no way of knowing for a fact whether or not they were there for her. I think that was a feeling. It was kind of like when those moments where you are absolutely the protagonist of your own story. You know what I mean? I think in that moment, it was just kind of like, felt very vulnerable. Why else would they be outside my window? We also don't really know, like, how far out.
That's
how
true.
Close
we don't
they
know.
Were. But it feels like sleep paralysis at first, but I crossed that out because
she comes back
and yeah. I don't think she would have immediately the way that it feels time wise. It feels like it was relative. Although, I mean, there are like the signs like numbness, unable to move. She stared at it. What felt like hours. It seems like kind of a little delusional, not in her world of being delusional, but because of the sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The fact that she comes back, do you think that the aliens were causing her? If it's not sleep paralysis, what if, could it have been like the prelude to an abduction?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they numbed her out a little bit, but maybe, we don't know. Maybe it's a after effect. Maybe it already happened. It definitely could be anything like that. I don't know if it was. There's two things for me that make me want to go viable. The fact, I don't think we know if the grandma saw these things either. So there's no like accountability. And there's just a little bit of lack of detail. Like, we don't know how far away, like you said. We don't know. Did she say what kind of shape the space is?
A shadowy thing with lights.
Oh. A shadowy thing with lights.
All right. You're making me.
So that's why I want to go. Like, I believe she saw something.
Yeah.
But I don't know what. I'm going to go with viable.
I think I'm going to join you. I think you talked me down. Not intentionally, but I do have questions. I think if it was a straight up UFO story, I'd be more likely to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime something involves being exhaustion or sleep or things like that, it's like reliability to no fault of the storyteller kind of goes out the window.
That's
a little
true.
Bit. So finally, and I think we should actually talk about this one a little bit more just because we jumped into our own story pretty quickly. The piercing eyes, Ethan and his investigation in Kalamazoo, the cemetery.
I just want to say that the image of a shadow figure with piercing eyes staring after you is terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Like, how do you not think of that all the time?
Right. How do you close your eyes and not see that all the time? Like, you must have to just, like, grow past it or something.
This is completely unrelated, but I was just thinking about it. So our friend, Ghost Type Alex, when you were living with him in our dorm, your dorm, at University of Akron, he claims to have seen a Victorian-style ghost walk through his door.
Yes.
Your door. That blows my mind because, like, you watch movies with ghosts in it, right? And you see special effects, you see CGI, but it's like when you see a planet explode in, like, a movie and you're like, wow, that looked amazing, or that was crazy, or that was terrifying. But no one knows on Earth what it looks like when a planet explodes. Mm-hmm. We might see the after effect years, light years after, but we don't see it explode. We just go off of, like, Michael Bay movies. I'm not saying he's blowing up, but you know what I mean? But, like, it's like the real world versus what we see in movies. And we just go off of the movies where it's like Alex, assuming it's true, which I believe it is.
Yeah.
He, like, forget movies. He saw what it looks like for a ghost to pass through a door.
Yeah.
Like,
keep that in mind. I didn't see shit. We were in the same room. I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
I was also looking down.
Yeah. Well, that's why you got to keep your head up. Keep your head up.
So from the information he gave us and his experiences before, I feel like I said before, it'd be nice if we knew more about what was going on. But from what he did give us, I believe he saw what he saw in the graveyard.
Yeah, it just, man, I want to know more about the death echoes that he, like,
me too.
That was kind of like the juxtaposition between us and our one EVP we got, and how it was like, oh my God, we're still talking about that 7 years later. And he's like, yeah, I get EVPs and I get the death echoes and you know, it happens. And I'm like, not here, not for me, just yeah. One time. But yeah, it's like, it's interesting that he's gathered so much information, but then it's like, this is the one experience that's sticking with him.
Yeah.
And after, it's not like a one-time thing. Maybe he's misremembering or something like that. It's like all this experience over the last 5 years or so, and then he sees this thing. Now, here's another thing I want to bring up really quick. He mentions that it had a guttural growl, and he likened it to almost a hellhound.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like that'll be an episode one day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough to speak to it right now. If you want to know a little bit more about it, on our listener submission interview on Patreon with Lorenzo, he actually speaks about
hellhounds. Yeah, he talks about it a little bit.
Right. But it didn't feel like that based on his description at the end of this shadow figure, like, creeping behind a tree with these glowing yellow eyes. Are hellhounds bipedal like that?
I don't think so. I think they're on all fours because they're hounds.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know that much either. I haven't done research into it.
I'm just bringing it up because he brought it up. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like that was what it was. But I also don't hold that against the story. I think it stands alone with whatever your imagination makes it out to be.
It feels kind of like they pressed too deep into a territory they shouldn't have.
Yep. Although the question they asked wasn't offensive or anything. It just could have been time. There's so many different things mm-hmm. that we don't know about between timing, location. Like we were talking about, like, if it was a still area that wasn't often disturbed. And like Ethan said, this is a location that they had never gone to before. Like they mm-hmm. had their usual stomping grounds, and then now they go to the cemetery for the first time. So what do you rate this one?
I rate this one believable. There's multiple witnesses. He's had other experiences before. This is new to him. I believe this experience happened and it stuck with him because it was so unique.
I hate that we're going to be the same across the board.
Well, we weren't before and then you switched your mind.
I know I did. I was believable on the UFOs and then, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go believable on the UFOs and I'm going to go believable on this one too. Now the sleepy sleeps. Yeah, that's got it a little messed up. So, Taylor, you know what? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You got aliens up there in New York. And also, Ethan's got creepy creeps with glowing yellow eyes in Kalamazoo. So thank you so much for listening to this first listener submission collection, volume one, which is redundant because I said first, but that's okay. And there'll be more because we do have some, we have a lot.
Yeah.
So again, I know we say this every time, but if you did submit your story and we haven't gotten to it yet, we do apologize.
We're working on it.
We are working on it. And I think this is a good opportunity to take the shorter stories, give them their shine, and allow people not to feel like this isn't worth submitting to the guys because it's short. And again, also making people not want to embellish to turn it into a full episode.
Yeah, because we do love the stories that you send us, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of our favorite parts of the podcast is going through these stories, experiencing things that come through the listeners. Like we know the source. It's crazy.
It is. And it's cool because if you're interested in doing it after the fact, we do have on our Patreon listener submission interviews. We're kind of going from beginning and working our way up to where we are now. But we get on Zoom and we invite the people that have submitted their stories to us and we interview more, which gives us more opportunity. If we don't get a chance to do a follow-up episode on somebody's story, we can get more details out of them on our Patreon. So if you want to submit your story to Believing the Bizarre and have your paranormal experience torn apart by Charlie and I, head to our website, believingthebizarre.com, and go to submit your experience. Again, I'll say, please add as much detail as possible without lying. Not that we think anybody will or has.
No.
But don't just fight the temptation.
And if you like this show and you've liked the previous shows and you want to tell somebody, please, if you're on Apple, go ahead and write a review. Give us 5 stars. That means a lot. It helps us grow. It helps us keep going up and up in the charts.
By tell somebody, do you mean us?
Yeah, and others that read the reviews.
Okay. You can tell strangers in person, too. Dude, I'm going to drop this nugget right now. This is what they call a tease.
Okay.
For all of our Northeast Ohio listeners, which is less than New York and California, which is fine. But for all of our Northeast Ohio listeners, we have a special surprise, some exciting news that we will be dropping our first August episode. So that's a tease. I'll leave that for now. But as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Tyler.
I am Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.